and he'll let it go out of bounds off of his foot, and it'll be 7-point ball with 5 seconds left of the second quarter. They're going to let it roll. Passing it to Rowdy. Peter up for two, and it's good for the buzzer. Huskies at 14, Eagles 34. That will be the end of the first half. Broadcast and commentary brought to you by KSDP.
All right, thank you, Rivera. I think she said 30-something to something. Either way, the T-Jacks are winning. It is halftime. We'll get you some music in the meantime. And then we'll be back with Rivera. Back with Rivera when she calls in.
KAEB is sponsored by Sandpoint Fuel and Freight, offering stove oil for residential and business. More information is available at 907-383-2026 or call Paul Gunderson at 907-386-6162. Sandpoint Fuel and Freight, a proud sponsor of KAEB.
Everybody put your hands together.
I swear
we are back with Rivera in King Salmon, the Eagles versus the Kalignic Huskies.
Get it back anyway. Mm-hmm. And be Sandpoint will foul the Huskies. That will be Dawson's second foul. 22 is going to put it up or two. No good. With the rebound, puts it back up or two, and it's good. 3 will take the ball down for the Eagles. Finding Dawson out to Ryu. Back to Dawson in the corner. And Tyler. Pass me out to Dawson. And Tyler. Then out to Ryu. Drive. And he will draw a foul. Rowdy's going to inbound it on their side, passing it to Peter. Up for two, no good. Dawson with the rebound. Ryu up for three, in and out. Dawson will get the rebound. Pass it out to Ryu. Drive out to Rowdy. Up for two, and it's good. Number 2 is going to drive in, passing it out to 15. Ryu will get the steal. Putting it up for two, and it's good. Eagles now at 40, Huskies 16. 6 minutes left to go in the third. Number 22 is going to drive in to the corner. 30 at the wing. Passing it to the high post. Drives up for three. No good. Dawson will get the rebound. Passing it to Ryu. Down to Rowdy. With a fast break, and it's good. 4-2. I don't know what happened. Double dribble, maybe. Or a violation, but it'll be Sandpoint ball. Dawson's gonna have it at the wing, handing it off to Ryu. Passing out to Rowdy, up for three, and it's good. Number 2 is gonna take his time. 30, wide open for the three. Cuts. 22 down low. Rowdy deflecting that pass and it goes out of bounds. Is going to have it in the corner. Rowdy's going to steal the pass. Loses his dribble. Peter grabs it. 30 grabs it back. 32 is going to pass it down to 15. Loses the ball. 2 is going to grab it off the ground. Puts it up for 2. In and out. Dawson trying to get that rebound, but tips it out instead. Be Kalignic ball on their side. Passing into 2. Out to 15. Back to 2, and then 32 at the wing. Who's going to have it at the wing, passing out to 22 in the corner, back to the wing, then a 15 on the other wing. Huskies just passing the ball around. Ryu and Tyler trying to get that steal, don't get it. Ryu with the steal. Drives, put it up for 2, no good. Tyler will get the rebound, puts it back up for 2 on the deflection. It'll be out of bounds from the block. It'll be Sandpoint ball. Gonna pass it out to Rhea, wide open for the three. Takes it, and it's good. Eagles 48, Huskies 16. 4 minutes left to go in the third. Two will take the ball down for the Huskies. Passing out to Pickton on the wing, tries to drive. Dawson picks it up off the ground, passing it to Ryu. Rowdy drives, puts it up for two. No good. Gets his own rebound. Tips it to Ryu. Then to Peter down low. Tyler up for three. No good. It was out of bounds on Klavnik, but they called it out of bounds on Dawson. Brandon will call a timeout for the Eagles. The Eagles at 48, Huskies 16, 3 minutes and 30 left to go in the third. It'll be Klavnik ball. She will take it down. She's gonna drive, putting it up for two. No good. Rowdy with the deflection. Peter saving it from going out of bounds, passing it to a Husky. Puts it up for two, and it's good. Looks like Julian will come in for Ryu. Dawson at the wing. 6-1 dribble in. Passes that to Rowdy. That will be a travel. Big Klavnik ball. Hey. 22 is going to have it at the wing. Picks up his dribble, passing it to number two. Yeah. 22 puts it up for three. No good. Dawson with the rebound. And Dawson will carry the ball. It'll be Klavnik ball. 2 minutes, 50 seconds left to go on third. Third is going to pass it to number 15. Takes the three. No good. Rowdy will get the rebound. Passing it to Dawson. Could have passed it to Julian. Decided not to. Puts it up for two. No good. And there will be a foul on Sandpoint. That will be Peter's second foul. Number two is going to take the ball down nice and slow. Passing off the 30 in the corner is going to drive. And it'll be out of bounds on Sandpoint as the ball rolls out of bounds. Number 15 is going to pass it to 30 in the corner. Puts it up for two, no good. Julian will get the rebound. Pass it off to Rowdy to take the ball down. Then to Peter, up for three, and it's good. Number two will take the ball down. He'll pass it at 30, up for three, no good, off the back rim. Gets his own rebound. Thinks about putting it back up, but doesn't. Passing out to two, almost loses the ball. Drives, up for two, no good. Peter will get the rebound. Passing it into Tyler, then to Dawson, up for two, no good. It'll be tipped out of bounds by the Huskies, and it'll be Sandpoint ball on their side. Jeremy's going to come in for Rowdy. Give him a little break. Minute and a half left to go in the third. Peter takes the three, and it's good. Eagles now at 54, Huskies 18. Third, he's going to pass it off to two. It'll be out of bounds on Dawson trying to get the steal. Is going to pass it a two, up for two, no good. Gets his own rebound, puts it back up, and it's good. Huskies reaching the 20 mark. And that will be a line violation on Sandpoint. Eagles 54, Huskies 20, 55 left to go in the third. 15 is going to drive, losing it out of bounds on his foot. The Sandpoint ball. Jeremy's going to inbound it to Tyler. Passing it to Dawson. Up for a long two. And it's good. Is going to take the ball down. Up for a long two. In and out. Peter with the rebound. Passing it to Tyler, but 22 blocks the pass. Hands it off to two to take it to the corner. Or 22 in the corner. Drives. Passes it back out to 32. And then the 30 up for a long three. No good. Dawson will get the rebound. Passing it to Jeremy. Up for two. Trying to get that buzzer. Doesn't get it. The Eagles 56, Huskies 20. That'll be the end of the third quarter.
Score is 56-20. We are getting closer to that mercy rule coming up in just a few baskets for the Eagles. We'll see what happens. Thanks for tuning in here to KSTP. We're so thankful for you, the listener, for making this a reality. Whether you're on Facebook watching right now live as Rivera Wilson gives us the play-by-play and the feed, or tonight as the T-Jacks go up against the championship in the championship team, where you'll get to watch that on Sandpoint Sports Facebook page, but also brought to you by KSDP as we bring these awesome opportunities for you to watch basketball, listen to local programs, so much more. Tune in here on the radio or go to our website, apradio.org, or check us out on Facebook. All we do here is try to make sure we bring quality programming relevant to our region for you, the listener. All right, Rivera Wilson come back here with fourth and final quarter as the Eagles look to put this one to bed and finish off the Sockeye Classic.
Let me say 22 is going to have it at the wing, dribbling it up top. Hands it off to 30. Ryu playing tight defense, making sure he doesn't get a drive. Hands off to 22, back to 2. Dawson will get the steal. Passing it to Ryu. Loses the ball. 30 will grab it. Passing it down to 22. It's just him and Julian down there. Up for 2. No good. Huskies will get the rebound. Passing it to 40. Back out 22 on the wing. Then a 2 up top. I don't know what the call. Oh, number 30 is tying the shoe. It'll remain Clay McFall. Thirty's gonna take the offense nice and slow. Puts it up for two. No good. Put back. Julian's going to pass it to Tyler to take the ball down. Ryu thinks about taking the shot, does it? Pass it after Tyler drives, loses it off of his foot. Klignik picks it up off the ground. Dawson with the steal. Tyler up for an easy two, and it's good. It's 22 is going to have it at the wing. Picks up his dribble, passing out to 30. Then a 32. Gonna have it up top, drives. Looks for a pass, passes out to number two, then 32. Drives, puts it up for two, no good. Pipo will get the rebound. Passing it to Dawson, up for three, short. Klignik will get the rebound. Tyler almost gets the steal. Up for two, no good. I don't know what the call was. Oh. Ryu gets a foul. It'll be Klignik ball on their side of the court. Passing it out to 22. Drives. Back out. Tries to take a baseline. I think that was a foul on Dawson. Ryu, making sure he doesn't get that pass in. Klignik puts it up for two and it's good. Julian's going to drive it out to the post. To Kaipo up for three, no good. Ryu will get the rebound. Pass it to Tyler. Up for two, no good. Trying to draw the foul. Huskies will get the rebound. Point two is going to pass it out. And that will be a foul on Sam Point again. And it looks like Tyler is limping. Jeremy will come in for Tyler. Ryu will get the steal from the inbound. Passing it to Julian. Drives. Passing it to Dawson. Up for two. Gets the ball taken out of hand. 30 is going to try to drive, but Jeremy trips him.
That's okay.
That will be the Eagles' fourth foul in the quarter so far. Just one more, and they'll put the Huskies in bonus. Thirty will inbound it. Huskies have it on their side. 30's gonna have it up top. Drives, puts it up for two, and it's good. Huskies now at 26, Eagles 58. 4.5 left to go in the fourth. Dawson up for a long two. And it's good. 30 will take the ball down for the Huskies. Puts it up for a long two. And it's good. Rhea will take the ball down. Passing it to Julian. Then to Kaipo. All the way to Dawson on the other wing. Up for three. In and out. Klignik will get the rebound. Point two is going to pass it to two on the wing. Puts it up for two. No good. Short. Jeremy will get the rebound. Passing it to Dawson. Two on one. Up for two. No good. Jeremy will get the rebound. Just coming out of nowhere. Passing it to Dawson. Julian up for three. No good. Jeremy with another board. Power dribble, then passing it out to Kaipo on the wing. Drives. Passing a little bit too hard to Jeremy, losing it out of bounds. Klignik ball. Eagles 60, Huskies 28. 3 minutes 20 left to go in the fourth. Number 22 is going to put it up for a long two. No good. Kaipo with the rebound. Passing it out to Ryu. to hand it off to Julian. Up for three. No good. Jeremy's going to get the rebound, and it'll be out of bounds.
Good hustle, Jeremy.
Be quick, Nick Ball. Jeremy fighting for the ball. Rowdy and Peter will come in for Typo and Ryu. Rowdy getting the steal. Jeremy picking it up off the ground, putting it up for two. No good, and the draws the foul. .249 left to go on the fourth. First shot off the back rim. In and out. It'll be tipped out of bounds on Sandpoint. Kaipo will come in for Jeremy. Rowdy's gonna try to deflect that pass in. Or no, he's gonna pressure. No. He's gonna get back on defense. Puts it up for two. No, good. Flagnick will get the rebound. Kaipo making sure he doesn't get that pass. Passing it to Rowdy. Then to Peter. Loses the ball. Rowdy picking the ball up off the ground. Julian up for two, no good.
I got off the ball!
Klignik will grab it. Passing it at 22, up for three, and it's good. Klignik now 31, Eagles 60. Little under 2 minutes left to go. Dawson, Peter up at high post, short. Klignik will get the rebound. Dawson gonna try to rip it.
No foul, no foul.
Decides not to and gets back on defense.
No
Dawson
foul.
Playing heavy D and draws the foul. Number two will be shooting two. I guess the foul is on Peter, not Dawson. That will be his third foul. First shot is good. Second shot goes in. Rowdy will take the ball down. No time to waste. Passing it to Dawson, then to Peter, wide open. He takes it, and it's good. Eagles 63, Huskies 33. Minute and a half left to go. Huskies up for three. No good. Cody gets the rebound for the Huskies. Peter grabs it off the floor. Gets pressed, gets double teamed. Hands it off to Julian. He's gonna pass. No. Peter's gonna let him dribble it down the court. Picks up his dribble. Passes it to Dawson. Peter drives up for two, blocks by number 30. And that will be a foul. On Sandpoint. That will be Kaipo's first foul. And the Huskies will be put to the line. First shot bounces around the rim, no good. Ryu's gonna come in for Rowdy. Second shot off the back rim. Peter will get the rebound. Tries chucking it down to Kaipo, it looked like, but misdirected it and went out of bounds. It'll be Klignik ball, 50 seconds left. Drives up for two. No good. Julian with the rebound. Passing it out to Ryu. Dawson finds Keiko. Back to Dawson.
25 seconds.
Finds Julian at high post. Dribbles. Puts it up. No good. Peter with the rebound. Put it back up. And it's good. Klignik's going to take the ball down. Picks up his dribble, hands it off to 32, puts up a long three, air ball. 1 second left.
Roll it.
And it'll be Sandpoint ball.
Look.
And that will be the end of the game. The Eagles 65, Huskies 34. The T-Jacks will be playing the Manicotic Lynx at 6:30. Broadcast and commentary brought to you by KSC.
All right, that was Rivera there in Bristol Bay. She just gave us the Sandpoint Eagles versus the Klignik Huskies, 65-34 in favor of Sandpoint. So good job, boys. We'll have Mia on the air at 6:30 to bring us the championship game between the King Cove T-Jacks and the Manicotic Lynx. And I'll get you back to your regular programming.
Night is as black as the sea, oh yeah.
There will be peace in the valley for me someday.
There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray.
There'll be no sadness, no sorrow,
oh my Lordy,
no trouble I see.
There will be peace in the valley for me. Changed from this creature that I am, oh yeah.
There will be peace in the valley for me someday.
There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray.
There'll be no sadness, no sorrow,
oh my Lordy,
no trouble I see.
There will be peace in the valley for me.
For me.
KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint, K201DA King Cove, KFPS False Pass.
Kauffman.org. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Ping Huang. It's no question that America is deeply divided. A 2023 Pew Research Center survey found that 55% of Americans feel angry about politics. Only 10% of people surveyed, that's 1 in 10, expressed hope. For the past decade, West Virginia Public Broadcasting has produced a podcast called Us and Them. It focuses on the issues that are tearing America apart, and by doing so, uncovers shared humanity. Host Trey Kay created the podcast, and he talked about it recently with All Things Considered co-host Scott Detrow.
President Trump, now in office after another brutal presidential campaign that saw our country more divided than ever. Obviously in the news a lot right now, early on. I want to talk about an episode that you tackled this election cycle with what you called dinner party episodes. And you recorded That's one right. of them just 2 days after the election.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a time where a lot of people had a lot of opinions. But tell me about the concept of a dinner party. How did you end up there?
Well, we started this back in the 2020 election, kind of during the pandemic, and we just tried to get four West Virginians who identified as conservative or Republican and four West Virginians who identify as liberal or progressive. And we thought that it would be great to see if you could get people together over a meal, if it was a potluck type of thing where, oh my God, that's a really great casserole, or oh my God, those green beans are fantastic, or that macaroni and cheese, where you could talk about things that are just common in living, you know, just living lives and recipes and stuff like that, before you got to the point where you're talking about, you know, the things that divide people, yeah. things like immigration, abortion, et cetera. Before the 2024 election, mm-hmm. we got people together. And then we said, okay, you guys got to commit to come back after the election. And we knew that, you know, that several were going to be very happy yeah. about the outcome and several were not going to be happy.
I'm just thinking about just 2 days after the fact, and, yeah. and that could have gone either way. Let's listen to a little bit of that. Again, this is one of these dinner party episodes, a group of conservatives, group of liberals getting together 2 days after the election to have a meal together.
I'm not wildly enthusiastic with the way it turned out. I'm just hoping that it mends some of the country. Tickled absolutely to death that there were not the protests and everything that went on in 16 yet, anyway.
What are you referring to?
Do I think this one was fair?
Not January the 6th. What are we talking about?
Well, I'm sorry.
Jay's comment prompts responses from several people. The first comes from Olubunmi Kashimo Frazier. She goes by Bumi and is a lawyer in private practice who's registered as a political independent.
Okay, so we are all reacting to your most recent comment that you're tickled that you don't have the protest from 2016.
16, yeah.
Okay. That's your concern. Your concern
that
was that there would be protests.
That was one of my concerns, that there would be. If you remember, I said previously that I'd told my daughter that no matter who wins, we're going to be in trouble.
I want to know why you went to 2016 and you skipped over 2020. Because 2020 was a traitorous act against America.
Are you speaking about?
I'm talking about January 6th, okay. 2020. I'm talking about protests after an election. And when somebody who you don't like gets elected and what you do. Why were you not worried this time that 2020 would happen again? Why were you worried 2016 would happen again?
I'm 2 days after the election. And 16 was whenever all the protest was, as cars burnt and so forth. It did not happen in 2020. We go to January the 6th, several months down the road.
But that's still a protest in response to an election. So are you worried about January?
This time
around? 2025?
At this point in time, no.
Why are you not worried about there being a peaceful transfer of power in January of 2025? Because we did not have a peaceful transfer of power in January 2020. If we are talking about what happens when people are upset because somebody loses, and you go to 2016 and you don't go to 2020, why are we skipping over people storming the Capitol and attacking police officers?
The storming of the Capitol, I watched on TV the Capitol Police pulling gates out of the way, saying, come on, this is your house, come on in. I watched videos of that. Now, not over everything, but over much of it. People who just walked through the Capitol are in jail now.
Just walked?
Just walked inside the Capitol. So yes, prosecuted.
The next comments come from Frank Annie.
14 people died, 140 officers have irreversible damage from the protesters where they had to be on medical retirements. They testified calling for help the entire time, and there are videos of these guys screaming at the top, please stop doing this.
Boomi wants to finish her comments.
Let me just make my point. The reason I was asking these questions is because you want us to shut up.
No, I don't want
the
you
point
to shut
is
up.
Be quiet.
Never.
What you said was they didn't do anything after the 2 days after the election. And the people who you cheer for, they stormed the Capitol trying to overturn the election. You were concerned about 2016.
There
and my
was
whole thing is,
some people that stormed the Capitol.
Can we let Bomi speak?
My problem is that the fear that a lot of people have right now and that they are feeling is that we will not be in a space where a voice that is not your voice is able to be heard safely, where a life that doesn't live like your life is able to live that safely. You're more worried about them fussing than you are about them storming the Capitol, and you don't even think they're gonna storm the Capitol. You know for a fact they're gonna do exactly what they're supposed to do. It's y'all who don't do what you're supposed to do. Now you've won, and...
Are you assuming that I'm racist? Is that what you're implying?
Wow.
That escalated quickly.
Is that what you're implying?
No, I don't think at all. That's what's implied here. We're just having a conversation.
I mean, that got tricky, huh? That got emotional.
Yeah, it got tricky really quickly. And I have to say, most of the episodes, both sides are collegial. They're very kind to one another. But that one, after that election, it went from 0 to 60 really quickly. Yeah. And I think one of the things, Scott, that we also try to do is we try to have diversity at the table. So, you know, there are persons of color. Jay, who spoke... he's probably, you know, in his 70s, and we have certain people who you heard in that clip who are college-age students. So we really try to have a lot of different perspectives politically and racially and where you are on the age spectrum.
Mm-hmm. How did the night end?
You know, it's funny. It was a tense evening. But I think by the end of the evening, we take little breaks, and at least at these dinner parties, people don't just peel off into their party-affiliated quarters or their tribes. They kind of continue the conversations and try to still continue talking across this divide. There was a really lovely moment where Jay, who you hear in that clip, was going to speak to a young 20-something Marshall University student who is African-American and who has a different political outlook than he does. And mm-hmm. it was really kind of a remarkable thing where at least it seemed like people are really trying to listen and understand each other.
You've been doing this for a while. Let me ask you about something, because I think there's a lot of stuff here that makes sense, right? The idea of getting offline, getting together, finding areas where you can share a space, eating a meal together, that makes a lot of sense. But a lot of the big divides in politics right now often come down to core questions of identity. And yeah. I feel like if you don't think that my identity, whether it's that, you know, whether it's how I identify, whether it's, you know, whether it's my race, whatever, if you don't think I belong at the table, it's hard for me to bridge that gap on something so personal. How does this approach work when there are such core questions about identity and who belongs and who doesn't belong playing out right now?
You know, when we invite people to this gathering, we pretty much say we're not here to win a debate. We're not here to, you know, best somebody in a discussion. Because, Scott, is the way I see it, the conversation as it is now, it just seems to be ratcheting up more and more to the point where we don't see the other people in society. We don't see the people who voted for Kamala Harris. We don't see the people who voted for Donald Trump as humans. And I feel like what we're doing here is like just a little step to see if there's a way we can maybe set some breadcrumbs to help us find our way back at a time where things are incredibly polarized.
That's Trey Kay, the host of West Virginia Public Broadcasting's podcast called Us and Them. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Scott.
The fitness industry in the U.S. is big business. According to the latest numbers from the Health and Fitness Association, people in the U.S. are spending some $22 billion a year to sweat, dance, and pump iron at the gym and in group fitness classes. But it wasn't that long ago that people thought exercise was kind of weird, and that shift can be tracked through a series of trends that took shape back in the 1970s. That's according to journalist Danielle Friedman. She recently wrote a piece in the New York Times about what she calls the decade that changed fitness forever. When we spoke, she explained why.
Before 1972, for women, their access to sports and even to fitness spaces like gyms was really limited, but that started to change. There was the birth of exercise science. Just a few years earlier, a former Air Force physician had introduced the concept of aerobic exercise, what we would now call cardio, and suggested in a best-selling book that it was actually good for you to regularly and strategically stress your heart and lungs. And there was also a shift toward self-improvement. The 1970s, the writer Tom Wolfe famously dubbed it the me decade. After the kind of activism of the 60s, Americans and baby boomers in particular were turning toward themselves, were sort of in many cases shifting away from trying to save the world to trying to improve themselves.
Yeah. So for your piece in the Times, you do argue that there are five trends in particular that led to fitness becoming mainstream. And I want to talk about one of them to start with, jazzercise, which is, you know, kind of considered a punchline these days. And like, remind us what jazzercise is and what made it so influential.
Jazzercise is basically jazz dancing set to music. It was first created in 1969, and it took off in the 70s. One of my favorite statistics is that by 1982, it was the country's second fastest growing franchise behind Domino's Pizza. And one of the things that made it really special was that it attracted women who hadn't really ever exercised in their adult life. And so it was kind of like a gateway workout. A lot of women discovered that they actually loved how they felt when they sweat. It was safe because at the time there were still beliefs that vigorous exercise could make a woman's uterus fall out. And it really changed them. And then just on a practical level, jazzercise was responsible for a lot of firsts in the fitness industry that kind of created the blueprint for the modern group fitness class. Hmm. It was one of the first workouts to offer babysitting so that moms of young children could take time to work out. Its instructors were the first to wear headset microphones. It was also one of the first fitness companies to go the franchise route, to allow instructors to open up their own jazzercise businesses and make a living. Mm-hmm. So it really was game changing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, thinking about this groundwork that you're talking about laying in the 70s and where fitness is today, I mean, it's so ubiquitous. You know, I think, you know, a report showed that one in five more than one in five people in the U.S. now like are a member of a gym or a fitness center or a studio or something like that. I mean, like, do you just sort of see like a straight line between the 70s and now? Like, how do those trends shape how we participate in exercise today?
America's relationship with fitness and the kinds of workouts that are most popular have sort of waxed and waned and evolved over the decades as we've learned more about what's good for us, what benefits health. And also, you know, the pendulum has just swung in terms of there are these periods of kind of intensity and burnout. So the 80s was really the decade of no pain, no gain. Jane Fonda, who became a phenomenon in the early 80s with her home workout videos, one of her favorite sayings was discipline is liberation. And so people were just working really hard at fitness. And then by the end of the 80s, heading into the 90s, a lot of people were burnt out or had gotten injuries. And we saw the rise of yoga, which had taken root really in the 70s in this country, but it just exploded as a sort of response almost to that intensity. Mm-hmm. So the groundwork in terms of understanding that movement is really key to well-being and that it could bring all sorts of health benefits and it could and should be a regular part of your daily life took root in the 70s. And then it has just evolved and grown and sort of met the times that we're in the years since.
That's journalist Danielle Friedman, author of Let's Get Physical, How Women Discovered Exercise and Reshaped the World. Danielle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
For Saturday, that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Ping Huang. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Subaru, featuring the 2025 Forester with an updated exterior design and an 11.6-inch Starlink multimedia interface. Learn more at Subaru.com. From the Wallace Foundation, working to develop and share practices that can improve learning and enrichment for young people and the vitality of the arts for everyone. Ideas and information at wallacefoundation.org. And from ECMC Foundation at ecmcfoundation.org.